We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Do you know what a skeptic is? A critic. Skeptics and critics of our Christian faith claim a common objection. Really, it's an excuse for their unbelief, and it goes something like this. If the miracles of the Bible are true, then why don't we see the same kind of miracles today? Or, slightly different, if the God of the Bible really has supernatural power, why doesn't he show it to us? People who think like that expect from God what the Jewish critics, the religious leaders, were demanding of Jesus after he had done a number of miracles, even in their presence. In other words, they saw a few of these. They said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Apparently, the miracles already done were somehow not enough. They wanted something more decisive. So also today, the Bible and its remarkable record of many, many miracles are said to be not enough. Or even worse, they dispute them as being false or not true, since there's no physical, visible evidence to prove it. In the New Testament record, from the life of Christ, his miracles have a purpose. They are meant to stand out as signs. Signs that point to who he was, where he came from, why he was here on earth. For example, in yesterday's devotion, the Lord healing that man was also a sign of his ability, his authority to forgive sins, an outcome that is more important and greater for that man as it is for all of us. We read about these signs, we hear about these miracles, and only by the grace of God do we have the reaction of the disciples and not the reaction of the critics. In fact, we depend on those miracles of the past, don't we? Without them, we would face the judgment of hell. We need the miracle of the virgin birth to bring us the Savior who is both God and man in one person. We need the miracle of that sinless child growing up to be the sinless man who would keep all the commandments. And here's the personal part for you. Make it count as your perfect righteousness with God. We need the miracle of his death on the cross. The miracle of God's Son taking your place and giving up his life as the payment for all your sins, with the result that they're gone from God's sight. That's the sign and the message of one more miracle, his resurrection. Something that Jesus described as the only sign given to people who demand a sign. He said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." We're not done with miracles, by the way. We still need God's miracles today, while they continue to be invisible to us. We had an example of that on Saturday evening worship at Messiah. We depend on the miracle of infant baptism. God working through water and the Word to wash away sins and create saving faith in the heart of the baby, even though we can't see it take place. Likewise, it's a miracle in its own right this coming weekend when the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper are bringing to the communicants, us who go to the Lord's table, His body and blood shed for the remission of our sins. It's a miracle inside the heart with the Holy Spirit doing the work when the unbelieving skeptic is brought around, finally led to give up his objections, repent of his sins, and claim Jesus by faith as his Lord and Savior. Now, as for the objection, why don't we see Bible-sized miracles today? I'm afraid I don't have a complete answer for that one. It does seem, though, that God has followed a traceable pattern here. When getting the world ready for the Savior, when preparing the nation Israel for the coming of its Messiah, God did the miraculous in Old Testament times to get things situated as He wanted and also as He foretold. When Jesus came as that Messiah, He did the miraculous to show His identity as God, to show His power over everything, to demonstrate His decisive victory over sin, death, devil, hell, and also to give a sign of its truthfulness, its reality, a sign for us today. When the recording of the Bible was being done, God did this miracle called verbal inspiration as the guarantee that we get all the words exactly the way He wants them to be given in their written form. And in this written word, God has bundled up the miracles of the past and made them part of His gospel to us, His power to save and to reveal Himself as the God of grace in Christ Jesus. Does that somehow put you in a difficult spot? Are you at a disadvantage because you didn't get to see it, what Peter and John were able to see during the days of Jesus? We can't say that. Not when Jesus says, you know the passage, "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." You know the passage. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this Bible that we use, this Word from God, is good enough as is. It can't be improved. It is true enough in its content to convince you of what it claims and what it offers. It is strong enough with the Spirit's power to preserve your faith in Jesus. It is faithful enough to deliver what is promised, to bring you and me to that day when we will see Jesus in person and personally experience a wonderful miracle yet to happen, our own perfection and entrance into His heavenly glory. Amen. We close our worship singing hymn 775, the first and third stanzas. Stanzas 1 and 3, hymn 775.